You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Hundreds of thousands of Michiganders who have a mental illness or substance abuse disorder are untreated. That's according to a study that came out this summer. Meanwhile, the state's publicly funded mental health system has been struggling financially for years, and the private health plans say they can do a better job. As the legislature and governor come up with new budgets for the next fiscal year, what is the plan for the state's $2.6 billion Medicaid mental health system? Well, let's talk about this now as we welcome Bob Sheehan, Chief Executive Officer of the Community Mental Health Association of Michigan, and Julia Rupp, Executive Director of HealthWest, formerly known as Muskegon County Community Mental Health. Bob, I want to start with you. When we talk about the public mental health system, exactly what are we talking about?
Cindy, what we mean is the system that's been around since the 1960s to serve the mental health needs of the state, and it includes the 46 community mental health centers serving every county in the state, about 150 private providers who are part of the provider network, and 10 governmental public health plans that actually manage the Medicaid benefit.
And Julia Rupp, tell us about the people in the community you serve with HealthWest, and especially whether demand for your services has been changing in recent years.
In Muskegon County, we serve individuals from birth to death that have needs for mental health, substance use, or intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Have you seen an increase in demand?
Absolutely. With children, we've seen about a 25% increase in services, and we see an increasing need for adults with substance use disorders. 2 years ago, we were up 40%, and this year up another 25%.
Bob, is this increase in demand, is that typical across Michigan?
It is. It's happening statewide. I mean, the upside, Cindy, is that people are recognizing they have mental health needs or substance abuse needs. It's, you know, that's what we want people to do, to seek treatment. The problem is the financing, until this coming year, have not kept pace with that.
Yeah, so tell us a little more, to take us deeper into what you see as the overall financial situation of Michigan's public mental health system.
Well, it's been pretty dire. Our association published a report several weeks ago that talked about a convergence of factors from 2014 on, everything from increased demand with Healthy Michigan, Medicaid expansion, the opioid crisis and the demand from that, the beginning of an autism benefit for the first time in Michigan's history, and then a large cut in state general fund financing, non-Medicaid, that happened in 2014. So those four or five things put our system in the hole by about $100 million every year for the last several years.
Julia, when you look at HealthWest's budget, how has it looked in the last few years?
This fiscal year that will be ending in September 30th, we will have expenses over revenue of about $6 million. We had something very similar last year, and that's all due to increased need.
And so what does that mean for you?
Well, it means that, unfortunately, the county is operating as our bank right now, and we're waiting for cost settlement in order to be able to make us whole. We continue to provide the services that are being demanded, and individuals meet the eligibility criteria, so we have to provide the service, as we should. But that means that we have to use local dollars while we're waiting for cost settlement.
Now, so, Bob, as you look at this budget proposal that is, you know, chewing its way through the legislature, what are your thoughts?
There's good and bad to it. So the financing part is actually quite good. The state, we want to applaud the state. Actually, they have a sizable increase in Medicaid financing, which is 95% of our budgets, our members' budgets, increased autism funding, substance abuse treatment funding. It's quite impressive. The downside is called Section 298, and I can go into further depth if you want me to with that one, Cindy.
Yes, please.
So Section 298 is a language in the budget bill. This last 2 years, it was to form a set of pilots, of which Julia's CMH is one of the pilot sites. But the language that appeared just last week in the Senate and House bill guts the basic principles of that pilot. It, first of all, makes an evaluation midway through the pilot, calls on the state to actually begin full implementation across the whole state of what's called a carve-in, regardless of what the pilot says. And so the pilot's a three-year pilot, but a year in, it'll truncate that and want the state to make a decision about going full bore. Secondly, it allows the health plans who are part of this pilot to go around the CMH system and purchase services from any provider. And that tends to mean low-cost providers with no experience with our population who are bring very complex needs to the table. And then thirdly, the whole premise of the pilots was to bring savings in health care because of the need to provide mental health care early on reduces physical health care costs. And the premise was to move those physical health care savings into the mental health side. the budget language says, no, not until all the costs of the health plans in making this transition are covered will the savings be transferred. So we would expect, with that language, no savings to be transferred.
So as we talk about the budget and problems, we have to dig into these pilot projects and the fact that private health plans have been arguing they can do a better job. They can deliver mental health care for Medicaid patients more effectively and efficiently than the state-run system. To that, Bob, what do you say? Give me your elevator pitch response.
Sure. Our system has a long history of a well-developed system. The health plans don't. We provide traditional and non-traditional care, meaning home-based care and the use of peers. They don't do that. Our overhead is low. Our overhead is 6%. The health plan's overhead is 15%. There's no profit drawn out from our system. All the money, if it's saved, is reinvested in services. And in every community, we're the local safety net. By law, people come to expect our system to be there for them. That's not true for a health plan. It's a private market. They can withdraw from the system anytime they want.
And to find a way forward in this debate, these pilot projects we've been talking about, they were set up between a few health plans and a few public providers. And HealthWest has been part of one of these. Julia, how long have you been at it, and where are you with the pilot now?
We have been meeting with health plans and the department for over 2 years. We have made a substantial amount of progress. There's no doubt that the health plans, as well as the CMHs, didn't realize how complicated this was going to be. But we've made quite a lot of progress. I agree with Bob that the health plans cannot do a better job than our public behavioral health system. However, the reason we got into this pilot is to improve outcomes for the people that we serve through better coordinated care. Also agree with Bob that we need to look at the evaluation before we start to think about expanding it. 20 months is not enough time to be able to evaluate the outcomes. So to talk about full implementation seems premature. Secondly, one of the major motivators to be part of this was the reinvestment of savings into the system to improve services to our community. If they take all those dollars and allow the health plans to use it for startup costs, that's a problem. Hmm. With that said, at this point in time, we're still fully committed to the pilot and moving forward, and we're just going to wait and see what happens with this budget.
So you do see room to collaborate with the health plans?
We see room to collaborate. However, these issues in the boilerplate are a problem.
So as this debate's gone on, there has been a criticism that the public sector has not been as efficient in using funds as that the private sector may be. What do you say to that, Julia?
I'd say that there are no facts to support that. The only fact they have is overspending of our allocation, but by the admission of the own department's actuarials, we're underfunded.
Yeah, so it's not a matter of overspending, it's underfunding.
Correct.
So, Bob, what do you see? What is the way forward in your view?
So we're asking House and Senate leadership to today actually work to change that budget bill, to take the language that's so damaging to our system and our clients. Failing that, we're asking the governor to veto those sections. If neither of those things happen, we have a mess on our hands. The pilots can't go forward. These three things are real poison pills to moving forward. I mean, you and I might actually think maybe they were put in as poison pills, but I don't think so. I think they were put in to truncate the negotiations and move to an outcome that the health plans wanted, but is not in the benefit of our system nor the people we serve.
You know, you use the term poison pill, Bob, so put this in context. If the legislature passes and Governor Whitmer signs the budget bill as written, what would it mean for Michigan's public mental health system moving forward?
Well, in the three pilot communities, it would be a disaster for the CMHs and those served. It would allow the health plans to purchase from anybody that they wanted to services. Someone who couldn't spell mental health last week could open a shop and be contracted with. That's a concern because the CMHs have really drawn together the best talent in their communities. Secondly, if the savings don't move over, the CMHs will end up spending more money to bring out healthcare integration with no savings. And then thirdly, very quickly, as Julia said, halfway through the pilot, the boilerplate says the state will make a decision to go statewide. And so you've made a decision to go statewide, which we've seen as a disaster across the country, without running the pilot, which was the intent of the pilot. So I think it means serious questions about whether the pilot can continue if that language is passed.
Julia, where do you want to see things go from here?
Well, better care for our clients. How we get there, better outcomes, I think that I'm open to see what that's going to look like. We obviously thought that 298 was an opportunity to achieve those things. And this new language in the budget is unfortunate. I'm hopeful that we can address that so that we can move forward with the pilot.
What do you think was behind this change in language, this legislative language that, Bob, you're saying it would basically gut the system?
Well, the change is actually the same theme that kicked off this whole thing, 298, back in 2015. So 4 years ago, the health plans put forward language in the boilerplate that said in a year, the whole place will be privatized. All the CMH payments will be moving through the private health plans because it's lucrative. It's a $2.5 billion business. And this is that language is just, you can see the same theme in this set of boilerplate statements. So that's what's behind it, is the desire to capture a $2.5 billion market.
Do you see an appeal to the governor? Who's there that's hearing you try to sound this alarm?
We have many allies in the House and Senate who are hearing this, and the governor's office is hearing it too. And so we have allies across the board. To be somewhat frank, though, it is difficult to push against a well-financed political campaign by the health plans. Their political contributions are 27 times higher than the public system. So, it dwarfs that. So we have to use the public voice and the voice of our clients to speak out. And it's being heard, and we're just calling on the governor and the House and Senate leadership to be courageous and make these changes.
Julia Rupp, you are on the ground in Muskegon County servicing clients. What's at stake here?
What's at risk for me the most is the public mental health system. I think that our work with the plans over the last several months has helped them to understand the role and the importance of community mental health. I don't necessarily think that they're trying to sabotage or eliminate the CMH system, but this language in boilerplate does that. And that would be disastrous for the consumers that we serve.
For people who are listening to us talk, Bob Sheehan, who's perhaps they have not intersected with the mental health system, explain why this matters.
Our system serves over 300,000 Michiganders every year, and we serve the most severely in need. So people who have schizophrenia or severe substance use disorders or intellectual developmental disabilities, people who are really on the margins of our society. We run towards them and serve them, help them with housing and employment and treatment and access to medications, primary care. That's what's at risk. We're one of the 20-some states in the country who have a county-based system that is far different than the private sector system. It actually is a safety net that communities work on. And the story I always use, Cindy, is that when something happens in town and the sheriff wants mental health care, they call their CMH director. When the school principal needs that, they call the CMH director. When the county commissioner, the city mayor, that isn't true. They don't call their private health insurance for that. And so that's the difference. They know who to call because it's a public utility and it's reliable. This breaks down that reliability and puts it on the private market. The private market's a good thing in America, but it's not good for serving poor and vulnerable folks who don't have better access. So that's what we're talking about.
Bob Sheehan, Chief Executive Officer of the Community Mental Health Association of Michigan, and Julia Rupp, who's Executive Director of Health West in Muskegon County. We want to thank you both for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
A brief note, we have spoken at length about these proposed changes to Michigan's mental health system with Dominic Pallone. He represents the private health plans, including most recently in June. You'll find a link to that interview in today's web post at the stateside page at michiganradio.org.